Well, as we're approaching now the end of this year, I don't always normally do this because in God's economy, he doesn't really look from year to year. 1 year can be 1,000 and 1,000 can be 1 year with God. But I found myself, as preparing for this, remembering the Lord's blessings. That's what this is called this morning, remembering the Lord's blessings. And as we approach a new year, and if the Lord tarries, sometimes he wants us to remember what he has done. Now, Israel's history is checkered by her lack of memory, because she was not very good at remembering God's blessings, God's provision, God's protection. And of course, the trials and the tests clearly proved that their memories were not very good at remembering what God had done previously. And you know, very often when we meet a trial, when we go through a trial, you know, if you've been walking, say, 10 years with the Lord, 5 years with the Lord, if you just cast your mind back, you will probably see some correlation in what you're going through, where God probably brought you through last time, and he preserved you, and he kept you, and he blessed you, and gave you a testimony to glorify his name. And yet, isn't it amazing when we go through these trials and tests how we don't remember, or we don't want to remember? But very often God is trying to get our attention that as we meet these trials, he wants you to remember how he brought you through last time, how he answered prayer, and so forth. And I believe that this is fundamental to our overcoming as overcomers. To remember God's provision, to remember his blessing, to remember how he guided you through that trial and was with you in that trial. And you see, that is why Israel's history is in the Bible, to show us and to warn us that they at times refused to think upon how God had brought them through. They weren't really interested. They could only live for today. They could only see today, now. That's all their vision was of God. But you see, our vision must be much greater. And that's what God is trying to show us. And if we are people who at times look back on what God has done, and how he brought me through, how he brought my family through, how he saved a loved one, or he healed me, or a financial provision, you name it, whatever. This helps us to have a bigger and larger vision of God. And I believe that that helps us to look also to the future. Many Christians don't really have a vision, for without it they perish, we're told. But we need that vision, and that vision needs also to remember what God has done. It's so important. You can't just be locked in today, now, this moment. It's also unhealthy. And even psychologists would tell you that. And that is one of the fundamental problems, the psychotic problems that affect today, is because they are totally locked in self now, this moment, and what I feel and what I'm going through. They cannot see a future. They cannot see tomorrow. And they don't want to look at it. And so God protects us from that. And so this morning I want us to think about what God has done. Now, this isn't an unhealthy thing, because we're also told that we're to look to Jesus and we're to move forward. Absolutely. But you need to know also what God has done to help you to look to Jesus, you see. And as I said, Israel would have none of it. Now, Moses addressed this very issue with Israel. They had come to the end of walking 40 years in the wilderness. You know the story, so I'm not going right through it. And Moses is about ready to go to the Lord. He's not going to go in to possess the land. But he's elderly, he's old, he's about 120. And he speaks to Israel about how God has preserved and kept them for 40 years. And that they are not to forget it. It is to be part of their testimony, their confession, their history, because a new generation is going to come up through Joshua, and they're to go in, this new circumcised generation, and now to cross over the Jordan to go in to the promised land. But they were to go with their history. They were to go with their past of God's provision. And Moses made it absolutely clear that they were not to forget it. He even composed a song that they were to sing of this blessing and not to forget it. But the nature of Israel, human flesh, unbelief, rebelled against it. I'm of the opinion that Israel wasn't really all that impressed with their history, if you actually read it. How do I know it? Well, because they wanted to be like other nations. They didn't want to be that peculiar treasure set apart unto God. Because that peculiar treasure to the world appears peculiar, different, maybe strange, not how the world views a thing. And that is why, maybe at times, we're not so keen on wanting to look back on how God has saved us, worked with us, provided, kept us, even maybe the church we're identified to, and so on. You see, we can't actually boast in that. That is in the flesh. But it does glorify the Lord. And Israel was to remember this. I'm also reminded of the first martyr, Stephen. And before Stephen was stoned, Stephen appealed to the history of Israel. And he brings it out confidently that they are the seed of Abraham, how they were blessed through the forefathers, how God had led them in the wilderness, how he had clothed them and fed them. He appealed to all of that. Now you would have thought that that would have ministered to them, wouldn't you? You would have thought, well, yes, of course, we are Jews, we are of the seed of Abraham, and he's absolutely right in what he says. No, they weren't. They were seething with that testimony. And how that he was trying to show that Jesus came out of that promise, out of the nation of Israel. God's purpose of calling them in the first place was to preserve them, to preserve a seed, a remnant, that Messiah would come from that. You'd have thought they would rejoice in that, but they didn't. They couldn't wait to pick up the stones to stone him. Because they didn't want to be reminded. They didn't want to be reminded of their blessings. How about the imprisonment of the apostles? And here they were before the Pharisees, Gamaliel. And here they appeal to Christ's crucifixion, that you crucified him, you put him to the cross. They again appeal to the background, where they're from, their lineage. Were they happy in hearing the past history? No. They wanted to put them away. They wanted to have them put to death. But God's preservation was upon them and protected them, and so on. Paul speaks of his conversion before Agrippa, and he appeals to the history, to the prophets, to the kings, Israel's history. He appeals to all of that, that out of that came Messiah, crucified, risen. And he said, you'd almost have me to become a Christian. Which he did. We don't know. But the point was, were they pleased? Were they pleased in hearing the history of Israel? The blessings of God's provision? Again, no. And of course, with that, he was to go to Caesar, to stand before him. Because he, of course, as you know the story, he was a Jew, but also a Roman citizen. And of course, they were going to get rid of him and whip him and lacerate him, which would probably bring about a death. And you know the story, where do you condemn, whip a Roman citizen? Of course, the centurion was fearful then, because every Roman had a chance to appeal to a tribunal whether they're guilty or not guilty. Interesting, isn't it? A tyrannical movement like the Romans were, and yet they could appeal to something like that fairness. Strange, isn't it? But there we are, and in the end, of course, with that, he was going away on his way to Caesar. But he uses his background. He uses the fact he's a Jew. He appeals to the Jewish history, you see? You have to be a Jew to know that one. But is it glad news? Is it glad tidings? It ain't. It never is. Are we beginning to grasp now what God is beginning to say to us? And that is why, you see, God doesn't want us to forget what he has done for us. The fact that he first loved us. The very fact that Israel failed means that we are here today, eyes and ears open to the revelation of God, to be able to worship him, to be able to be grafted in with the rest of Israel. Tremendous news. But you cannot forget the history. You cannot forget the past. It's interesting that all of this that we hold deals with the past. That is what we read. But it has a future element, it's revelation. But the writing of this, the revelation of this, goes back literally hundreds and hundreds of years. And it appeals to past blessings. And reveals that future blessings will be those to those who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I'm trying to get to is that Full Gospel Assembly must not make this same mistake. And as their trials seem to intensify, as they seem to get bigger, and it seems to get more impossible, we must not make that mistake that Israel made. She was short-sighted. She didn't want to believe or look to the past, even though the prophets, the teachers, the priests, try to appeal to the past history of Israel. They're going to have none of it. None of it. I'm reminded of when they came out of Babylon, the first group that came out after 70 years of exile. And there they're to build a new temple. And the former generation, in this case, are not interested in building, but they're looking back to the former temple that was built under Solomon. And they saw the plans and the foundations, they said to themselves, hang on, this isn't a patch on what it was, what we can remember. Failing, to remember that God's presence was first and foremost in the tabernacle that was carried, moved with the children of Israel in the wilderness. They couldn't go to that. They could only go to the next one that was built, a type. Short-sighted. So as a result, they lost interest and the foundations laid destitute for some years. And they became more interested in building their own homes than the house of God. With all the history that they'd had, here God had brought them out of Babylon again, showing that he could deliver a people. You'd have thought that they'd have thought back, yes, this is exactly what God did with our forefathers when we were 40 years in the wilderness, how he brought us out of Egypt from Pharaoh and so forth. You'd have thought that they would rejoice in that. They would respond to Moses' teaching and reminding them. You'd have thought so, but they would have none of it. And you find, you know, we can adopt that same attitude, that same spirit, that ungrateful heart. And we have to be so careful, so on our guard. God is delivering us. The very fact that we are preserved, that we keep with this, that we come week after week, is a clear sign God is bringing us through, but he doesn't want you to forget how he has also brought you through. What he has also done. And each of you have a testimony or testimonies of how God has brought you through an impossible situation. How he turns something from bad to good. How he worked in hearts. We've heard a testimony again this morning of prayer. How God can work through hearts. How he can work through situations at work, through bosses, and so on. It's also remembering how God did it last time. Are we facing trials? Yes. We hear the news. We know what's going on in the world globally. Yet are we going to be affected by that? Are we going to be drawn down by that like the rest of the world are? Held in fear and unbelief? Worried about their finances, their interests, their future, their jobs and so forth? Are we going to be drawn into that? I think God is allowing all of this simply to test the overcomers. Testing to see where we are in this. What are we going to believe? What report are we going to believe? That is the question. Well, what report have you been believing up to now? What report were you believing 5 years ago? 10 years ago? It's the same report. It doesn't change. Simply because your trial or your circumstances may be different. You know? The fact is, it doesn't change. And you have a testimony where God has brought you through, where he preserved you, he kept you in impossible situations. And we must never, ever forget this. And this must come out in your testimony, in your prayer life, in your songs that you sing to the Lord, in just generally sharing and so forth. It's good at times just to go back, to recap and say, do you remember how God was faithful in that? How he brought us through? Or do you remember when we were faced with all those lies and gossip that was being said and how God dealt with it? How he vindicated his name? I could just go on and on. It is good to remember these things because it helps you in your present trials. It keeps you positive. It keeps you open. It keeps you looking to Jesus with that vision and so on. And as I bring this into a conclusion, I've got four things here that I've written down to remind ourselves about remembering the Lord's blessings. And the first one, which is an obvious one, the state that God found us in the first place. Or the state that I was in when he found me. And you were. You were in a state. And because you were in that state, the mercy of God moved upon you to open your eyes, your ears, and your heart. You remember that. Never forget that. Israel wanted to forget it. Israel couldn't appreciate it. Israel thought that because they were the seed of Abraham, they were infallible. Little did they realize. And so because God found you in the state that you were, you have a testimony of what God has done and is doing. And how he has restored you and is restoring you. Clothing you spiritually, mentally, physically, psychologically, and so on. We are the handiwork of God. And never forget it. You are his workmanship that he will be proud of on that day when he shows what he has done. And others will look upon it. That is why you are his peculiar treasure, that you are set apart, sanctified unto him. Never forget it. Let that come out in praise and in worship. Let it be your testimony when you have a chance to give that testimony out of the good news of the gospel. Never forget it, because the gospel must always be presented to the world out there as good news. Even in your trials, it must still be good news. And the only way it ever will be is by remembering what God has done. It keeps it balanced. And then the second area to remind ourselves is the healing and the deliverance that is taking place over us. Just look how God has delivered you over the years. How at the right time he has simply removed those oppressions, those demonic oppressions, where suddenly in your thinking, your mind, you have suddenly changed, or you have seen it, or you have understood. That is the deliverance. Where no longer you have that desire, or you're held anymore in those areas that you once were before. We all of us have testimonies of that, of deliverance. Where when God says enough is enough, that demon that buffets no longer can any longer. That is deliverance. Again, you need to be reminded to remember those things. Because so often, you know, in deliverance, when suddenly you are delivered, it's like part of you says, well, what really was the problem? You know, what was the problem? It can seem like that. But when you look back, you think, yes, it was. I was bound by that. I was held by that. I couldn't get free until God spoke the word. It doesn't take long. Because when you are delivered, it's like there's a part, well, it always has been. What was really the problem? That's the blessing of deliverance. But the other side of it is that you once were different. You once were that held with depression, where everything just looks so black, so bleak, so negative. Now you're no longer held by that anymore. It's so easy just to think, oh, well, what's the problem? I haven't that problem. But you did. You did. That is the point. And that not only gives God the glory, but it also means that God can use you when you minister to someone who's bound in depression. You can identify with that. You have a testimony of the good news. I can tell you something. Jesus delivered me from that very same thing you're going through. He did. Eyes open up. Hope. Because you remember what Jesus has done. You see? So important. Keeps this healthy, balanced. And the third area. It's an obvious one, and I've already touched on this, but we need to emphasize this. The deliverance through our trials. Now, all of us here have different trials. And as I watch, and I have my trials, but as I watch, I see certain trials in nature that is absolutely right for each individual. And I will be honest with you, I have said to the Lord, there are some trials that my brothers and sisters go through and say, Lord, I could never go through that. I couldn't go through that. And the Lord says, well, that's why I don't let you go through it. Because I know. But you may be going through something that is different. Some go through psychological and emotional trials. Some go through a physical trial. Some go through a family trial. That trial could consist of the children rebelling. Or it could consist of financial. A number of things. They are trials. So all the trials that I look at are different, but the end result is the same. And so, with those trials, you see a pattern in time of how God is working, how he is delivering, how he brought them through the last time when it just seemed as though they were completely going under by it. You see a pattern. You see how God is working. And that is what you to remember. If you're going through that trial yet again, take heart. God brought you through it last year. Or 2 years, 5 years ago. Now, I'm not advocating that you go through the same trial. Who wants to go through the same trial? But sometimes we do go through the same trial. You think, hang on a minute, I went through this before. I'm not going. Now, you may avoid going through that trial if you suddenly stop and say, hang on a minute, stop this. God brought me through this trial last time. And I have a testimony that he did it. Because I'm here. I'm alive. I'm confessing him and so on. So if he brought me through last time, whatever's happening, he will bring me through again. And very often, that's really what God's trying to get our attention to. Because our memory is short. We don't want to remember, because Israel didn't want to remember either, her history. But you've got to remember your history. You've got to remember that God is giving you a testimony, a history, to glorify his name. And when you start to appreciate that, when you start to glorify him in that, you're probably going to find you won't go through that again. Because you've understood what the Lord's doing. You have given him the glory. You have truly appreciated now that God has preserved and kept me and is keeping me. But all the while we gripe and moan in the trials and everything, we are not seeing the past, how God has brought me through. We're not seeing it. We don't want to see it. We're so consumed now. I'm hurting now. Get me out of this. I don't like it. You know, period. And God's trying to show you a much broader and larger picture of your trial. And he's saying, hang on a minute. Am I not capable of bringing you through that trial? Yes, Lord. Well then, think about the last trial you went through. No, I'm hurting now. I'm not worried about the past. I live today. I look to Jesus now. Okay, fair enough. Go through it. And then when you come out the other side, eventually you begin to learn. God is saying, I want you to remember what I've done and what I am doing. And in time, we begin to do so. Because it makes us appreciative. And that appreciative heart comes out in glorifying the Lord. It mellows us. It matures us. It makes us a gracious, grateful people. And in return, we can pass that on. That comes out to other people. It comes out to our enemies. It comes out to those whom God is moving us alongside to be a witness and so on. They see that because they can identify with that. You see, our faith is so practical that we often miss it. That is the problem. So he's delivering us in these trials. But remember the trials of the past, how God has also delivered you. And so if he's done it in the past, he will do it again, even in this trial. Well, how much more, to be honest? How much more? And the fourth area. Remembering the Lord's blessing is to bring us to where we are now, today. We all want to know where we are today. We all want to hear what the Spirit is saying today, now to the church. That is totally healthy. That is right. The Bible tells us that. The book of Revelation, the seven churches tell us, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today, now. But you notice in those appeals, those seven appeals, that Jesus appeals to the past. He tells them maybe what they aren't doing. So he's appealing to the past. He's not appealing today. He's telling them a bit of history about themselves. And that's why they're like they are. The church at Ephesus had lost its first love because they had taken their eyes off Jesus. They had become consumed in body ministry, in the apostles' ministry and everything. They had left a very basic fundamental, and that is their relationship and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost. And he appeals to their history. He's showing them the mistake they are making. So, by appealing to the past, what God has done, and remembering that, enables you to be able to hear today, now, what the Lord is saying to you, to the church. Isn't it wonderful how God does it? And my final conclusion in this is that those who don't grasp this or don't like this teaching, what I have given, and remember that many don't, the children of Israel, if I was to teach this now to them, way, way back, wouldn't like what I'm teaching them. They would take me out and stone me. Do you know what the problem is? Why they don't like it? Pride doesn't like to admit the past. And that's the problem. It's humbling to have to admit even the failings of the past. I remember giving a testimony once to someone, and in that testimony I was giving, I had to admit a failing that I made. But you know something? It was like the enemy said, well, you're blowing it now. You know, and part of you was saying, you can't say that. That will not glorify God. That's not what they want to hear and everything. They want to hear the good news of Jesus. But no, I knew I was hearing what God was saying. And by admitting where I'd missed it with God, do you know, it had the complete opposite. That person that I was witnessing to could identify. They began to see, well, that's God's love, isn't it? He's like a father, isn't he? Just like a parent. We get it wrong sometimes, but they correct us and so forth. He'd seen it. He got it. But he would never have seen the Father's love if I had not admitted that I had missed it with God. You see? And so we have to admit it. And in that admitting where we missed it, then we see how God corrected and how he worked and how he brought us through and delivered us and so on. It's all part of remembering. So there's nothing wrong. It's healthy. It's good. Do it. Because you're going to see then your trials today that you face, you begin to see them in a completely different way.